today on Richard Ellis Talks.
So is your pursuit of your high, whatever that means to you, resulting in abundant life? And if not, what are you giving your life to it for? Are you getting a return on your investment when it comes to giving yourself to that sin, to that pleasure, to that pursuit?
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Most High. A few quotes. The thing about getting high is it feels like freedom until you realize you become a prisoner to the feeling. The high is never as high as the first time, but the low gets lower every time. You think you're escaping pain, but you're really just postponing healing. C.S. Lewis said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." The human soul craves God-sized joy, but we often settle for lesser thrills. So turn to Psalm chapter 91, and we'll jump around here a little bit, but not too much. Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of who? The Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then go to Psalm 83:18. That they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Now, just before we get into it, I'll just tell you that in Hebrew, the phrase is El Elyon, God Most High, or the Most Exalted God. If God is the highest, there is no one above the highest. Okay? So the Most High God, the reason that is so huge is that that's who we pray to. That's who we worship. That's who we believe in. He is the Most High God, meaning no one above that. Then Psalm 97:9, for you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. So no matter what other gods you name or come up with, the world has thousands, if not millions of them. Above all of that is the Lord God Almighty, the Most High. So look at Ecclesiastes 2, chapter 1. Chapter 1's got enough in it to keep us busy for a while. So you have the wisest man, Solomon, who ever lived, and you would think that a wise man would figure out how not to get into the mess he got into. 700 wives, 300 concubines. My mind goes to the shoe closets alone. I'm just like, oh my gosh. And it's like a separate palace just for shoes, unless they co-opt the shoes. Ecclesiastes 2:1. Now listen to this, the wisest man ever lived. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with myrrh, therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. So he embarked on this, he had money, he could buy what he wanted, go where he wanted, do what he, whatever he wanted to do. And so he says, I'm gonna test you with myrrh, therefore enjoy pleasure. So he began to pursue pleasure. Look at verse 3, I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their life. Now this is it's kind of bizarro what he actually just said. I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom. Wine and wisdom usually don't go together. So he was spinning those together thinking, okay, this is the ticket. I can balance the two. You can't balance the two. If you're going just after pleasure, just after getting high in some way. Go down to verse 9. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. All my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. Now imagine living that life. You see something, you see someone. I want it, I take it, it's mine. And to accumulate 700 wives, 300 concubines, he must have seen a lot of women, and there's no, he's the king. She's mine. Boom, 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 just picking them off. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 32. Angel shows up and describes who Jesus is. He will be great and will be called what? The Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. If you are, and since he was, the Son of the Highest, there is no higher son. There is no higher God. There's no higher son. You're the Son of the Highest. You can't get any higher than that. So why would you pick a lesser God to give your life to? A little g God. And let him run your life, and you pursue him, or that being, or that statue, or whatever it is you're praying to, thinking it's going to change your life. John 4, 13. This is Jesus having a conversation with a woman at a well. She can't even go in the cool of the day whenever all the other women go, because she's from a little village nearby, and she's been married to five guys and is living with one, and she has to go get water when nobody's out there, and Jesus turns up at that well, not by chance. So it's just the woman and Jesus at the well having this conversation, and it gets in about water. But look what Jesus says in 4:13. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. You drink what comes out of this well, it'll quench your thirst, but you'll be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst." Now, how is that possible? When you get him, the thirst that you have spiritually is satisfied by him. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now imagine this. This facility, by the way, is very interesting. I've never been so thirsty in a room in my whole life. Anybody feel kind of a cotton mouth? Anybody commented on that? It's a special chemical in the air that makes you want to buy stuff at the bar. No, that's not true. But I think I've got this dry mouth. Something about the air, whatever it is, I've never been in a room where it's like this. And so when I read these verses, I'm thinking, what if I had internally some type of spring water device that constantly was triggered into my mouth and I could have fresh, clean, cold water anytime, all the time, didn't have to go anywhere to get it. Spiritually, that's what you got. You have a spring. He is a spring of living water that bubbles up from the inside of you, and you don't have to go to the world to satisfy your thirst. He is your thirst satisfier. And then the enemy comes and says, "Hey, how about a swig of this?" And you go, "No, I got a swig going already. I am a container. I contain him. He lives in me, and he provides what I need. The world tricked me and lied to me and told me all these things would satisfy. That does not work for me anymore. I now know it's him in me, and that river of living water coming in me, through me, to you." And then people see that and go, "I want that." I wasn't sure when I was going to tell the story. Obviously, y'all know this is a club. My wife and I, my youngest daughter and her husband, we were down here Friday night my wife and I are here till midnight. She wanted to go home. I wanted to stay, but what do you do? So we're in the back corner here. This place is thumping. You know, I'm fishing, right? You say, "Well, what are you doing in a club? What are you not doing in a club?" For the right reasons. "Well, I can't go to a club because there's too much temptation." Okay, well, don't go, but get your together and get back in there and let's go fishing. If you know so much about what doesn't work, then get some buddies that do know what works and get in there and talk to people. I'm back there in the corner. I got my white shirt on. I'm the only, you know, guy in a white shirt. So maybe that was it. But I'm standing, the four of us. And all I did was to the beat of the music, I started going like this. And Alex may be in the room. He said he'd try to come. I don't know. Maybe Alex is here. So he goes, "Dude, great smile." And we have a conversation. And before it's over, he said, "Wow, you know, I said something about a church being in here. You're welcome to come." He said, "Man, this is crazy." He said, "Because I told my buddies I didn't really want to come tonight, but then I said I would." And he said, "What's really weird about it is I've been thinking about getting back into religion." And I said, "Alex, me, my wife, my daughter, and son-in-law, we are here tonight because of you. It's about you." So the five of us huddled up, prayed back there in the corner, and he may or may not be here. You say, "Well, that stuff doesn't happen to me." And I say it softly and kindly. People say, "Well, you have these things that happen in your life. Why does this not happen to me?" You're not fishing. And you're probably not fishing because you're not following, right? I quote this verse all the time. Jesus said what? Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. You say, well, I don't fish. And I'm going to say it really quietly. It's probably because you're not following. You say, well, you're questioning whether I'm a Christian. I never said that. You can be a Christian just sitting on your butt, not doing anything, not even following Jesus. But you can't follow Jesus and not be turned into a fisher of men. It's not possible. Sooner or later, you're going to engage with people. And when you follow Jesus, your life changes. That spring works. The fruit of the Spirit, He fills your life. And all of a sudden, love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, faith, all this stuff, self-control, all of it explodes on the branches of your life. And now they see the joy. They see everything they're chasing, trying to get high, trying to find pleasure, trying to pursue whatever they got. And they look at you and go, you are it. You have everything I've been looking for. And then when you bring up Jesus, your life is not a contradiction to the message of Jesus. It folds right together and they go, yeah, I'd love to have him because I'd love to have what you have because clearly it's changed your life. I've probably overquoted John 10:10, but look at this one. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So the devil's plan for you, your family, your marriage, your children, everything, steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus' plan for your life is what? Life and life more abundantly. So is your pursuit of your high, whatever that means to you, resulting in abundant life? And if not, what are you giving your life to it for? Are you getting a return on your investment when it comes to giving yourself to that sin, to that pleasure, to that pursuit? Go to John 11, verse 20. Now you say, well, what does this have to do with Easter or anything about what we're supposed to be celebrating? Easter makes all this possible. If Jesus doesn't die, your sins aren't taken care of. If he's not raised from the dead, then death has not been taken care of. That weekend, Jesus dying, sinless Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, dies, is buried, and raised from the dead, covers everything you gotta have covered. And then within a few weeks, the Holy Spirit shows up, and now he takes up residence inside of you. Greater is he who is in you if you're a Christian than he's in the world. You should not have a problem if you choose to follow and to obey. You're not going to have a problem saying, I'm not doing this anymore. You say, but I have these desires, I have these temptations. You're never tempted beyond what you are able to say no to. The Bible clearly says that for a Christian. So if you sin, you choose to sin. That's it. Stop choosing to sin. Choose to follow him. You have the power to do that. So look at these verses, John 11:20. There's some comedian does a great bit about this. This is Mary, Martha, Lazarus. They're buddies of Jesus. He stays at their house. He eats with them. You know, Mary and Martha are back and forth. I'm cleaning the house. She's just sitting at your feet. And turns out sitting at his feet was the right thing to do. But Lazarus dies. And now they're upset because if Jesus had been there, he wouldn't have died. They knew that. They believed that. But verse 20, now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Like, what are we doing? But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. So I haven't lost hope, even though my brother's dead. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said to her, now look at this, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now, I've shared this multiple times, I'm sure. I don't want to die some gruesome death. You know, nobody knows this probably, but I got here today, and this has never happened to me before. The last thing I do before I leave the house is I go to the printer, last edits are made, and I hit print. I fold up my notes, put them in my Bible, and I come down here. Well, I got here and opened up my Bible, and I had last week's notes. I had printed last week again. So I let Rebecca out, and I took off. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I know what this is. It's a test. And I thought to myself, be careful. You don't need to die going home to get your notes, right? So I don't want to do something stupid and get myself killed. But I know, I just know 100% I know this. And I don't know, some things I do know 100%. This is one of them. I know for certain if I drop dead, whenever I drop dead, I am with Jesus, bam, just like that. Zero question. Now, how is that possible? This is how it's possible. You have to know what Jesus said and who he is to say it. And when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. You worrying about death, I'm the resurrection. You worried about life, I am the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, look at this. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into the world. Say that. Is that what you believe? You believe that, you'll be saved. You are the Christ. Put your trust in him. You say, well, I don't believe that. Or I think I might know it in my head, but I've never received that personally. Then do it. The guy from Friday night, you know, he said, I've been thinking about getting back into religion. He doesn't need religion. He needs Jesus, right? He doesn't need to have a book of rules and regulations and you did this and your skirt's too short and your hair's too long and you got earrings and, you know, what are we talking about? You think God cares about all that stuff? Religion starts with your external issues and tries to work back to your heart. God always starts with your heart. So if you meet someone and they're all jacked up, crazy hair, whatever they got, stop looking at the external. Jesus either died for them or he didn't. And if he did, talk to them about Jesus. Don't be distracted by externals. John 14:19. And I'm not putting these in here randomly because I didn't have enough, you know, stuff to fill in. John 14:19. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Why? Because I live, you will live also. He keeps talking to him about these things. So you have a plan for getting high. How high are you getting? How is it working? Forget that. Do you have a plan when you die? Not how high, but when you die, what is your plan? You say, well, I don't know. Get a plan. You're going to die. You say, well, now you're scaring people. Like, no, it's a fact. People don't want to think about it because they don't have a plan. Romans 1, and let's just start at verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I don't need a Jesus dying on a cross, being buried, and then that's it. I need that, but I need him raised from the dead because I need my sins taken care of, but I need eternal life made possible. I need to know that when I die or he returns in my lifetime, I'm going to live. I want to live. Romans 6:23. Some of you know this by heart. Some of you have never heard this in your life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin pays a salary and that paycheck is death. You live a life of sin, you'll get paid for the life of sin. The devil will issue a certified check in the amount of death. Eternal life begins with rebirth, not death. So when you become a Christian, your eternal life begins. Yes, you're here, but the kingdom of God is within you. It's here, it's now, and it goes on when you leave here, but you get in on everything. Everything in spiritual places in Christ Jesus you have access to. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Big old long chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Just a few more verses and we're done. 1 Corinthians 15:12. This whole thing is about the resurrection. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So if that's what's being said, he was raised from the dead, then how are you saying there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. So if that were true, then he is actually dead. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. So this is the dumbest exercise in the world. I should go buy a lake house and quit. I can get up here and talk about Jesus and he died on a cross, was buried and raised from the dead. And if he's not raised from the dead, this is a total waste of time. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep, or same thing for dying in Christ, have perished. They didn't just die, they're dead. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So he is alive from the dead. I'm telling you, if you don't understand this, whether you're in the room or somewhere else, and you say, well, I grew up in church, that ain't going to fix it. My dad used to say being born in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being born in a garage makes you a car. I grew up in church. Good for you. Do you have Jesus on the inside? Are you sure that if you drop dead, you'd spend eternity in heaven with him? If you're not, then fix it. How do I fix it? God, I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died on that cross, buried, raised from the dead for me to pay for my sin personally. And I accept your payment in my behalf. I ask you to come live in me, through me, change me, save me, fill me with your spirit, and show me how to live for you and follow you. And I've said this way too many times. You say, well, can't be that easy. Easy for who? Easy for you. You just received a gift. Not so easy for him. He had to come down here to live a sinless life, suffer and die, become sin for us, be buried, raised from the dead, go through all of that to make it so easy. By the way, think about this. If the body, you say, well, he was crucified. Most people don't argue about that. And they buried him. And then one of the arguments is that his body was stolen. Now listen to this. If the body was stolen, the enemies of Jesus would have produced it to stop the movement. They didn't because they couldn't. You can't produce a dead body if it's been raised from the dead and it's not dead. So what are you going to say about that? Oh, they didn't think of that. Whatever. That's how you shut it down. You go find a body. If he's so alive, who is this? Oh my gosh, we got it wrong. There's Jesus. He's still dead. It didn't work. The reason you got an empty tomb, the reason they can produce a body is there is no dead body. He is alive. That's the point of the whole story. Look at 2 Timothy 3:1. A couple more passages and we'll shut her down. 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. And then look at this one. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Get away from those people. They're living that life and they have a form of godliness but they deny its power. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Is that my life? Is that your life? Do you live for pleasure? Do you live for all these other things? Or is it really him? Because if you live for him, this is not how your life will be described.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Without Jesus, you're trying to get high. Without Jesus, you won't get off the ground, much less get out of the ground. You cannot get yourself to him unless he brings you to him. You think, well, I'm just going to die and it'll all work out. It's not going to work out unless you know him and have him in your life. It's not just that Jesus is your ticket to heaven. If he's not in you, you can't get to heaven. He is your propulsion mechanism. He is the one, the person, the risen Savior that he died, raised from the dead. When you die, you're raised from the dead because you got him on board. So you die without Jesus. It's not that you're going nowhere. You end up in hell. You go, well, that's not right. Then change it. Do something about it. Well, I don't believe what you believe. Okay, but don't sit there in hell for eternity and go, well, nobody told me, because I'm telling you. You say, well, that's not very nice. It's really not going to be nice in hell. And at least somebody loves you enough and cares about you enough to tell you, to warn you. And people say, well, but you know, I'm going to have to change my life. I'm going to have to change my mind about what I think is right and wrong. And you're willing to hold on to all of that pile of whatever you got, given your life to, and you're willing to say, God, I'll trade all of my sin. I'll keep my sin. You can keep your heaven and eternal life and abundant life. I choose this. You can't blame God for that one day. That will be your choice. People say, well, I don't believe a loving God would send anybody to hell. He's not sending you to hell. You're picking it. Stop picking hell and pick Jesus. Instead of trying to see who can get the Most High, how about getting a relationship with the Most High? Through His Son, Jesus, there is no high like the Most High.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.